green line represents the primary route. The orange line is the secondary route. These purple lines represent segment options. They're not actually part of the proposal, but these are, for example, if the commission wanted to move from here to here, this would be a viable place to do it. This would be down here as well.
Okay. So, for example, if the commission said, we want this and we want this,
right,
you would connect right there.
Right.
And this, what we're looking at right now would be the part that I guess goes up north into Fulton County.
Right, this goes up to IPAVA.
Okay. How did you narrow this down to your preferred route here?
It was a long, involved process. We took all of the information that we gathered at the previous two open houses, all the information that was given to us by landowners, various stakeholders. We took all of the engineering considerations. We took the sensitivities. The two key ones were impact to agricultural land, as well as they want to avoid existing residential areas to the greatest extent possible. We take a look at those things. All of these routes have been flown over by helicopter. And at the end of the day, we have concluded that the routes we have all the way from the Mississippi River over to the Indiana line up to IPAVA from Doche, these are all routes that are viable, buildable, affordable, and mitigate impact to the greatest extent possible. Can't avoid impact, but we can mitigate it, and that's what
we've
done.
There is some impact to farmland and
residential. Absolutely. Absolutely. You cannot build something 330 miles long in this state and avoid farmland. Can't be done. You can't avoid timber. Can't be done. And you can't totally, absolutely avoid residential areas. But we've mitigated it. We've kept things as far away as possible. So I think we have good routes.
And did you also still keep it affordable for Ameren to be able to do this?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's within the budget, right. We're not going to know what final costs. Roughly, we're looking at somewhere around $1 billion to build the whole thing.
A billion?
Mm-hmm.
With a B? Okay.
With a B.
And this would power how many homes or areas?
Well, that's,
how are we talking
no,
about?
You can't look at it that way. It's a 345,000 volt transmission line. It's part of an overall grid network, and it is part of what is necessary to bring, for example, renewable energy, not only to Illinois but to other states in the Midwest and on further east. All of these states, for the most part, have what are called renewable portfolio standards. These are mandates from state government on how much energy from renewable sources has to be delivered. For example, in Illinois, the year 2025, 25% of the energy that Ameren Illinois delivers must come from renewable sources. When you add all of this up, by the next decade, there's going to be a need to deliver 41 million megawatt hours of electricity on an annualized basis. To put that another way, that's the output of 10 large baseload generating plants. The existing transmission system cannot handle that. Impossible. Each transmission line can carry so much energy, and that's it. This is going to fill in the blanks in the 345,000-volt transmission grid within the MISO footprint. This, along with the other multi-value projects that have been identified throughout the MISO region.
Does this replace existing infrastructure, or does this supplement it?
Well, it's a supplemental. Actually, this is filling in gaps. And in this case, a 330-mile gap of 345,000-volt transmission. It doesn't exist today. It needs to. You can't take power and run it at 345 and then suddenly it has nowhere to go. And that's exactly the system that we have in place today. Back when most of the existing transmission lines were built, they ran from generating plants owned by the utility and went to the areas that the utility served. So, for example, there's a lot of lines that run from power plants in central and southern Illinois up to the Chicago area because Commonwealth Edison used to own those. That's no longer the model that is used today. Now it's an interconnected web, and we need to build that out so we can move power not just from specific locations to specific locations, but anywhere in this whole grid efficiently, rapidly. And right now that's not necessarily possible because power doesn't always go the directions that you need it. So it follows a zigzaggy pattern. This is also going to, because it's a high voltage line, it reduces power loss, and that's something that everybody pays for. It's also going to access lower cost generation by eliminating transmission congestion. Just like a superhighway, transmission lines become congested. They can only move so much electricity at a given time. That's a major problem today. This is going to help eliminate that problem. This, along with the other multi-value projects, and there's a total of 17 of those, of which this covers three of them. There's another one that's going to be up a little bit more northwest, basically running from the Peoria area up to the Quad Cities area. That's called Spoon River. Ameren Transmission Company will build that one as well. The process, though, for getting approval on that hasn't yet begun and will not begin for some time yet.
You're holding these public houses here, these open houses here, to gather some public input, I take it?
Yes. The primary purpose of these now is to share with landowners where the routes are, how it impacts their property, to explain to them what the process is going forward, what they can expect. We will be filing with the Illinois Commerce Commission in November. Once it goes to the commission, there is a public process that they follow. They will have a maximum of 225 days to review, hold hearings, take testimony, etc. At the end of that process, they will issue a final order, and that final order will include the approval of a route. Once that is done, then Ameren Transmission Company will begin the process of contacting landowners. And that begins the process that will eventually mean negotiation with those landowners to get easements, which are 150 feet in width. The easement is perpetual, so as long as there's a transmission line, there will be an easement. It also includes compensation to landowners for any damage that may occur to the property at any time while that easement agreement is in place. And, of course, as I said, it's a perpetual agreement. So 50, 100 years from now, whatever, if there's loss to that landowner, the company has to compensate that landowner and make them whole again. That's particularly important for farmers. You have a crop in the field. However, there's a need to get into that transmission line. So let's say they damage what equals to 500 bushels of corn. That farmer would be reimbursed for those 500 bushels of corn. Or if fencing has to be taken down, the farmer would be compensated for that. If a drainage tile is damaged, the farmer would be made whole.
What about houses? How close can one of these be to a house when you talk about you might have to remove some houses for
this? No, we're not going to have to remove any houses. Nope, we're not building over any houses. I'm going to have to check. I believe that the edge of the right-of-way can't be any closer, but I have to double-check this, than 100 feet to a residence. But I'd have to double-check that. So you can't take that as gospel without me double-checking that.
How is it that residential, I think you said some residences will be impacted.
Yeah, they would be because their property, you know, it may be they're on one side of the road and the transmission line's on another, for example, but you know, it's impacting them because it's going up right along. It may be on their side of the road. It may be running right on their side of the road in front of them. It may be in property behind them.
Are you able to follow any highways when you construct something like this, or does it have to be
some
off?
Some of this follows roads, but the problem with roads are that's where houses are. And that's one of the things we got from our sessions. People want us to use roads, but people also want us to avoid houses. It becomes somewhat contradictory. So we follow roads when we can, but often we can't. Section lines are used quite a bit. In some cases, we're following existing utility corridors, so we would be adjacent to or close to another utility line, maybe not right up next to it, but close. However, when you're close to another utility line, that raises reliability issues, because if a storm comes along and takes out one, it's probably going to take out the other because it's next to it. That's why you like to keep them apart to the greatest extent possible.
Will you make any changes to this based on input you get during this current round of forums?
Typically, no. This is final. You know, we've been at this really since April. We had our first open houses in May. There may be some tweaking, some minor adjustments along the line. And we haven't done final engineering yet, and that won't be done until we have a route. So we can't tell you exactly where poles are going to be placed. There's other things that we're going to have to do yet. But these routes, like I say, with maybe some minor exceptions, these are what is. Now, that doesn't mean the commission can't change something. Commission can do anything. It can move this over here, for example. Once it goes to the commission, they are then the final arbiters and decide what that route's going
to
be.
Can the commission send you back to the drawing board, or does the commission have to, based on what you've suggested here, present some sort of plan?
No, they either have to approve a route, or they would have to reject the petition. And to reject the petition, they'd have to say the project's not necessary or the company can't afford to build it. But the project has already been approved by MISO. It's been approved by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. There really is no argument that it's necessary, and it's part of a whole regional complex. In terms of financing, Ameren Transmission Company has the financial wherewithal to build this, and that's something that can be demonstrated. So we would anticipate the commission is going to approve a route. But again, could they reject it? Yes. Could they come up with new lines? Yes.
Can you refresh my memory? MISO, what is MISO?
It used to mean Midwest Independent System Operator. Then they changed it to Midwest ISO, and now it's just MISO. I know it sounds like a Asian soup of some sort. I believe there's a Japanese soup that's very close, if not the exact same spelling. But it does represent that. They are exactly what the name implies. They are the overall operator of the transmission grid within their footprint, which is the upper Midwest and portions of Canada.
All right. For anyone who could not make it to one of these forums in this current round, is this information all online?
We have everything but detailed maps online. Once the open houses are completed on October 11th, sometime subsequent to that, we will put more detailed maps available on the website. I've been asked many times, why don't we do that now? Well, part of it is we want people to come to the open houses. And sometimes if you just look at a map online, it may be misleading. Even this map you're looking at doesn't really provide great detail. It just shows this wide line. Tonight and at all of our open houses right up until the 11th, people can come in, and actually we have books here that show you in great detail exactly where the line is located, where it would be on your property, and then we have GIS stations here where you can get a printout showing exactly where that is. And then those same landowners then want to talk to our real estate people because they want to understand then what the process is going to be for them. If you just looked at that map and decided, nah, I don't need to come, you may be missing some very valuable information. We also at our regulatory station want to explain to you what your rights are, whether you want to support something, whether you want to oppose it, whether you want to support one route and oppose another. We'll share all of that information with you. Once we file on our website, ilriverstransmission.com, you'll be able to go there. You'll see the docket number. You'll be able to click on that docket number, and it'll take you directly to the ICC website. And there you'll have total access to everything that's been filed with that case, including schedules, hearing schedules, et cetera, right up to that moment. You'll also learn, if you haven't already, how you can make your opinions known to the commission, you know, who to write your letters to, what to include in them, you know, be as detailed as possible, or if you want to become an intervener, it'll explain that process as well.
Anything you want to add about this?
I just want to stress that we do have these open houses going through October 11th. The full schedule is on our website. You can go to any one. So, for example, you know, you live in Schuyler County. You live in Cass County. You can't go to one of those open houses. You could go to the open house in Jacksonville. You could go to the open house in Chatham, over in Decatur, Taylorville, all the way over to the other side of the state, Charleston, if you want to. The information is going to be the same at each one. You come when you want to. You leave when you want to. There's nothing formal about these open houses.
Thanks a lot.
Hey,
appreciate it.
Welcome. No problem.